Blog Talk Radio.
Mike Jones, I'm joined by my co-host John Rossi.
Hello everyone, how y'all doing?
Did you have a good weekend so far, John?
Yeah, it's been a great weekend.
Cool. I've had a lot of, I've had an interesting week myself. I've talked about here a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't your average Leave It to Beaver type week anyway, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. No, it wasn't a sitcom. That's for sure. So how's it going?
It's going really well. So why don't you put everyone out of their suspenseful misery and tell us about what happened to you this week, because it is interesting.
Well, just from my own background and all, I had dealt with a little post-traumatic stress syndrome stuff going on. And it was, I was helping somebody else out, which I'll talk about that here in a minute, too, which I find kind of interesting. But anyway, I'm sitting there dealing with an emotional crisis of my own. And the morning that I had decided to get over it, and this goes back to poltergeist cases, by the way, and this is why I find this so significant. The moment that I had got up that morning, the living room lights were still on. I'd left them on. And I've got a chandelier. It's got multiple light bulbs in it. I walk into the living room, and the moment I probably wasn't even in maybe 5 foot range of this chandelier. Three of the light bulbs consecutively pop right behind each other, and it was at the same moment I was having the thought that that post traumatic stress thing was gone. I could tell that weight was off of me again, and I was okay, and I was back to normal. Well, the light bulbs pop, consecutively, just pop, 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 right behind each other. And I'm sitting there going, and I kind of giggled, because it was just like, I knew it wasn't a ghost in the house, but it was just like one of those moments you kind of go, oh, that was PK, psychokinetic in nature. And that's all you could say it was, because the chances of three popping and it's just slim and none, because, there's too many light bulbs. And if one was going to pop, that'd be okay. And if multiple ones were going to pop, all of them should have popped, if it was a short circuit.
Hey, and Mike, how many bulbs popped?
Three out of the six, and the three closest to me.
So let me just ask you this. What makes you think it wasn't just a normal, everyday power surge?
Well, like I said, if it was a power surge, and these were all brand-new light bulbs I'd put in previously, I would think it would be a little bit more random, and there wouldn't have been a pop, pop, pop that would all pop at the same time. I mean, this was just like somebody tapping on a desk at the rhythm that they popped. And, let me continue this. I've got a little GPS unit. Works flawlessly, okay? It has for about a year. I got it for Christmas. And so I get out of my car getting ready to go to work, and I plug it up like normal and on. It's not coming on. I'm going, man, something's wrong here. Why is this not working? So I get to work, and where I work at, we've got a lot of super intelligent people. I work in the aircraft industry, so, we have a lot of specialists. So I hand it off to the avionics guys. They're used to dealing with computer equipment and troubleshooting things. And they check it out, and the battery's still got a charge, and there's no reason for it not to come on, but they can't get it to come on. I've got a buddy up there that does energy work. And is pretty decent at it. And I sit there, and the thought occurred to me, well, let me just hand it to him. And I turned around and handed the GPS unit to him, and I told him, I'm going to use the bathroom. I'll be back. And I came back 5 minutes later, and he's got it working. And I asked him, I said, what did you do? He said, oh, I just asked it what it wanted. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, no. And anyway, he's got it working. But, the entire situation – I mean, maybe it's my own belief, we can get down into that, if you want to point to the fact that it was just me believing that the light bulbs popping and the GPS locking up on me like that was all a coincidence, coincidental, but what I find interesting is the moment that I had the thought and the energy release in my own mind of the post-traumatic thing, weight was off of my shoulders, and I had that breath of relief is the moment the light bulbs popped, is what I find fascinating.
Okay, there's one more kind of piece to all this electronic stuff, and that happened the night before.
Oh, about the internet and all that other stuff going crazy?
Well, the internet and also the we were talking with video, and there was the most unique anomaly that occurred as
well,
we were talking.
Actually, you were watching that, and you explain what you were seeing.
Right. But let me first let's preface this by ask just in terms of your emotional state that night when we were talking, so I guess that would be Thursday night, on a scale from 1 to 10, where would you rate yourself?
Oh, man, I was still around a 3 or 4.
Okay, and where do you rate yourself normally?
About 8, 9.
Okay, so...
You know, just with normal everyday emotions, you know what I'm saying? Extremely good day is 10, of course. Well, that's not to me. I mean, I'm a realist about it, you know.
All right, just so I'm clear, for you, 1's bad and 10's good.
Yes.
Okay, so 3, you know, you're on the wrong side of the equation. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm feeling the weight of whatever. Right.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're talking, and we're kind of processing some of the stuff that you went through. And all of a sudden, Mike's head is going out of focus. The rest of the picture on Skype was perfectly clear and in focus, but Mike's face was like, I don't know, like phasing in and out in terms of going from being totally crisp and focused to going out of focus, but it was only his face that was doing this.
And this is when I wasn't moving around, right?
Yeah, no. And then as an experiment, you know, I asked you to move and do various things, and it really didn't seem to be connected to that. So I just think it's kind of interesting that we had this unique thing happen Thursday night while we were processing what you'd been going through. And then Friday morning when you decided that, you know what, I'm done, you put yourself in that place where basically, you know, you took control. And at that moment, you end up having another unique event that was involving electrical equipment.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, now, and you know, like I said, this goes back to poltergeist activity and people with extreme emotional releases, you know, or having it bottled up. You know, that's not the first time that I've had, you know, I was having internet connection issues too, which was really odd, because it was just phasing in and out pretty bad. But
all right, you know, you brought up the connection with poltergeist. I mean, we you know, briefly, you know, talked about that. And, you know, kind of the theory now is that poltergeists are not spirits, but rather a PK event associated with a human, a live human.
Well, you know, and that was one of the reasons I was giggling when the light bulbs popped, because I knew, you know, I'm my psychic abilities, I'm not going to say anywhere close to you or Greg or anyplace else, but I can tell when something's in the room with me. And there was absolutely nothing in the room with me. There was no reason for that to happen. None of the lights in the house faded when that happened. It's just these bulbs popped, you know. And I was just like, you know, that's all that could be was me. You know?
Sharon's asking a question in the chat room, and that's whether or not I was seeing a spirit, if you will, you know, manifesting in front of you. And I would say no, because it didn't have that flavor at all. And this is not the first time that Mike's done some weirdness when he's been on Skype in terms of a video anomalous event occurring. evidently sometime, what, about a year ago, was it, Mike?
Yeah, and Doug had captured it, and, you know, I still don't know what to make of it, but I've yet, and I've looked, I keep looking, I have not been able to find any references to going transparent. Now, the pixelization you get is from a video interference, but the transparency is another matter.
Okay, you might want to go into a little bit more detail, because you just basically said something about transparent, and everyone's probably wondering, wow, what has Mike been drinking tonight?
Well, it's not what I've been drinking. It is what it is. The picture Doug had captured, and there was, I think, two or three, actually, that were captured in the sequence. There were 10 different photos. There were several that had the pixelization in it, which means Skype was having issues. But there are two or three in there that are transparent, and you can actually see through me and see the chair, see the couch behind me, with optical effects like I'm made out of glass. And, you know, that's something I've kept, you know, and I don't know what to make of it. There's not really a way to put a term to it. And like I said, I keep looking, you know, to see if there's anything on the internet that actually shows this effect going on, and being a software glitch or a hardware glitch, you know, because I keep looking. But if I were just going to look at it straight on as somebody that does video, it looks like I literally went invisible and you can see the outline of me.
Yeah, I've seen the photo, and it's like, I've never really seen anything like it, and it's, the effect that's there is such that, you know, I don't think that, I'm not even sure how you could achieve it if you were a whiz at Photoshopping. You know what I'm saying? Because it's an incredible, you know, photo, you know. We were showing it to someone that does surveillance systems for the government, and, you know, he's reviewed a lot of video and things of that nature over the years in his capacity, and he said he'd never seen anything like that in his life.
Well, and that's, you know, that's where it gets back to, well, what is this then, you know?
You know, and, you know, he was running down all the various types of things that, you know, can cause, you know, anomalies in your picture and stuff, but he couldn't think of anything that would even come close to approximating the effect that we saw on that initial video.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and get that posted up for everybody. I think everybody would get a kick out of this picture. And like I said, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to put any, like, labels on it that it is a paranormal event, because I can't say that. But I can say that it's just a very anomalous photo. You know what I mean? It's strange.
So, do you remember what you and Doug were talking about that night?
Yes, I believe Doug and I were talking about the times I was talking about the grays being able to go invisible.
Okay, so it's kind of interesting that we have video anomalous events at two different points of time with two different observers involving you, and each time the topic is, you're talking about aliens, and I'm sure that, you know, based on your experiences in history, that each time you go there, there's some, you know, emotional content that comes with it.
Exactly. I do get worked up. So, you know, it, like I said, it is what it is, and I can't do anything outside of just saying, you know, hey, it happened, and just a second, I'll have this posted for everybody. And let's see here. Oh.
Now, what I was seeing on Thursday night was nowhere near as dramatic as this photo that Mike's going to post. But, on the other hand, my understanding of how things focus, cameras focus and stuff, what was occurring shouldn't have been occurring, and there's not an explanation for it. Why would just his face blur out and everything else be, you know, exactly pristine?
Yeah, that's the part that gets me, I think, the most. I I don't really know what to make of it. You know, that's, and like I said, it'd be neat to be able to figure out, hey, you know what? There's a way to trigger this stuff, and actually, maybe I wouldn't say control it, but you know, who's to say? And I've about got it posted, and I'll be able to help you guys.
Now, Doug's saying it could have been a video frame glitch.
Yeah, and it could have. And see, I've taken that in consideration, and I've looked and looked. And the pixelization, like I said, on the other photos would explain that. But there's a problem in the fact that, and I've looked, there's not any images out there I'm finding on video error that are showing this invisibility thing going on. And I would have an issue. I've been, like I said, we talked to the other guy that had been doing it stuff for years, and he didn't know what to say, make of it either.
Yeah, and he was actually shocked by the photo.
I believe that's the link that'll take you to it. I've just posted in the chat room. And yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, there's two different frames in digital transmissions, the N and P frame.
Actually, Sharon's actually going in the chat room. I can't imagine how a camera could photograph things behind you unless you were invisible. But it just occurred to me, Mike, if you were backlit, you know, like when someone's like wearing white clothing on a bright day and they're backlit, they kind of like, you can kind of see their silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that there's nothing between your ears or anything, Mike, but do you think that maybe that was kind of what was going on?
Easily could have been. But here's the thing. If you look at the photo, you can actually see the shadow of my headset on my head and the reflection of the light coming off my head. And that's where I'm getting to. That's what I'm saying, that anomaly. I'm not so much saying that this is not a frame glitch or a technological glitch, but I have yet to come across this anywhere on the internet and how this happens.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying that this is something paranormal in the sense that aliens were about to zap you to another dimension or that you were about to go astral traveling or any of that.
What I am saying,
though, is there seems to be a connection in terms of some kind of electronic that when you get into a certain place that somehow you're affecting electronics. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it was a PK event where it didn't actually happen, okay, real life scenario, I didn't actually turn invisible, but somehow I'm affecting the electronic equipment, maybe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In that sense.
Right.
So that's the only way I could figure out that it would happen. And I was going to explain with video technology, you have two different frames that it's actually recording very close to each other, and what this does is it cuts down on the motion blur. Well, when you move, if the background's not moving, it's still going to have that in that frame because it doesn't have to constantly keep refreshing that part of that video image, and it just transmits what moves, right? Well, if you look at this photo, I'm not moving that much. As a matter of fact, the headset's clear as a bell. You know, the top band of the headset. So, that's where I get into, you know, what caused that. But, you know, then you seeing me do the same thing last night or two nights ago, you know, that's, to tell you, that's the second time now.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the same thing in the sense that you were going invisible. What was weird was there was just this other video anomaly occurring, and it was only with your head.
Yeah.
And not the entire frame. And to me, you know, it's like, you know, I certainly am not an expert at any level about what Skype's technology is or the webcam that you're using, but it just seems to me that, you know, if something was glitching out, it would be affecting the entire picture and not just your head.
Exactly.
You know?
It should be affecting the entire picture if it's a video anomaly going on, you would think. But like I said, it goes back to what kind of technology are they actually using, you know, and that, like I said, I'm still looking into it, and when I find out, I'll find out.
Well, I think that, you know how nice Sharon is? For some reason, I think she just called you a bubblehead, but I'm not sure.
But anyway, that's just, you know, that goes back, like I said, if anything at most, it might have been a PK event, but I don't see it past anything like that. You know, it's not that I actually, you know, did anything major. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, by the way, Paranexus is looking for anybody out there, just putting the word out, that has a nice 25 to 35 foot travel trailer they want to donate so we can have a moving lab, more or less, so we can go out and share the wealth with everybody, as it were, and do research. So just put that out there. I almost forgot to say that at the beginning of the show when we got off on this topic. But have you looked at any of the news lately?
Yeah, there's been all kinds of interesting, strange stuff out there this week. But before we go any further, though, because I don't want to forget, because I can just feel how excited Sharon's getting at this point. We have a gentleman, J.C. Johnson, who's going to be on Paranexus Universe on Thursday night, and he's going to be talking about skinwalkers. So, and also, he has experience with Sasquatch and something called Scragglies, and that's a new term for me. I've never heard that.
If anybody in the chat room knows what a scraggly is, just let us know. I've met people that were scraggly, but
yeah.
I've never heard that term before myself. I'd be interested to see what that actually is. I wonder if that's a cross between a human and an ape man kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I have no idea. I never heard the term before, and I actually, you know, went, you know, and spent a little bit of time trying to search it. I don't know. I didn't come up with anything.
Mm.
So, did anything in particular attract your attention this week in the paranormal news?
Well, for myself, I had two different people contact me with abduction incidences this past week, which
and is
set me off on my little trip. But, well, it was interesting. What was interesting about the first one that I contacted me, they were reporting 4-foot-tall, human-like aliens that had wider faces than normal, like wider than an Asian profile and large eyes. And then we had another one that reported dealing with, let's see, I'm trying to remember what they're actually called. They're, ones with Billy Myers dealt with. Oh, somebody help me. I just had a brain fart, everybody. I'm sorry. Anyway, they're pretty much Caucasian, blonde, blue-eyed aliens. They're perfect looking. But, yeah, that was the two different reports I got. And they were what was ironic about it, these literally happened the same night within hours of each other, which, you know, what's the chances of that happening, you know? So.
Well, how often do you get contacted regarding abductees?
Not very often, actually. And I actually have people that will route people to me that need to talk. And the first incident was somebody I'd never met in my entire life and had been pretty much sent to me to talk. It had happened 3 hours previous to him and his wife and his daughter. And, of course, I can't really talk much past that, but it was interesting. The other person I had known through my own dealings with stuff and everything, and she'd gone back to this location because she was interested in seeing where, you know, previous events had occurred and it happened to her again. So, you know, that's all in all what happened. You know, it was just, like I said, it was really weird, though, that it happened within hours of each other. These people are calling me. You know, that's just kind of, I mean, it's an odd coincidence.
Yeah.
So it may lend itself to actually psychic attacks and not so much actual physical abductions, but, you know, that's just a theory.
So I saw this week that in Texas and in Ohio there was reports of egg-shaped UFOs. What's that all about?
I don't know. I was looking at that earlier. There was one in Ohio that said that they had an egg-shaped UFO that hovered 200 feet off the ground along Route 33, and evidently this person was out in their car and noticed this object. It was a luminous object that was like an LED blue hovering and was moving down the highway there. And they reported it to MUFON, of course, and all, but it that looked like that was a pretty interesting incident. What's odd now, didn't you say you found something on aircraft that actually spotted egg-shaped UFOs also?
Well, some commercial pilot out of Texas reported seeing multiple egg-shaped UFOs moving in formation.
Really?
Which, again, you know, it's kind of interesting that, you know, there's a somewhat similar report of a UFO in Ohio, you know, so... I don't know. It seems like there's been a number of UFO reports cropping up, and you know that seems to be a pattern in terms of, like, you know, there seems to be periods of a lot of activity and then not so much.
Must be an election year coming up.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, because they want to learn how to do politics the way we do it here, you know.
Well, yeah, we've got it down to an art, don't we? Well, you know, that's the thing here. We may be going into another flap. I was noticing also there was a rectangular UFO, and there's actual photos you can go look at. Hang on a second. I'll give everybody the link in the chat room. There you go. And this is a rectangular UFO that was reported over Texas. And if you look in the article, there's actual images that the person has posted. And, of course, I want everybody to notice something. Part of what you're seeing in these photos is camera shake. The other part I'm not too sure about. That could be just the trace of the actual object moving. You know, we are talking at night. We are talking about a camera that probably is low quality camera. It's not like a high end. So, but yeah, they're pretty interesting images.
Sharon's Mike, that link showed up before you said it. You posted another anomaly. Or were you multitasking, Mike, talking and doing something productive at the same time?
Well, I'm good at multitasking.
Okay.
As long as I'm not blowing light bulbs out. So.
Okay. All right. So.
Evidently, I guess we have a delay in the chat rooms, what's happening, because when I posted it, and the audio is probably about 3 to 4 seconds off in all likelihood.
So, what was it, last month it seemed like in the news we had a number of UFO sightings actually all over China to the point that airports were being closed because of them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was another thing I was – now, I looked – I showed you one of the photos and asked you if there's anything odd you saw in it, and I'm not even going to post it because it doesn't even deserve to be posted in the chat room. This photo – looked like it was a night shot. When you look at the top of the picture, you can see UFO, it looks like a day shot when you look at the top of this picture and you see the UFO. But then when you look at the city that this person's standing in, they had all their lights on and it was a night shot at the bottom.
You know, actually, that would be a good one to show people to be analytical when they look at these things and just not immediately.
Let me see if I pull
jump
it.
To a conclusion because. Talk about a faked photo, because as Mike was saying, you know, when you're looking at it, it appears to be a daytime photo, but then you realize that all the, like, street lights and the lights on the side of the buildings and stuff are all on. And so it looks like, you know, it's a composite photo, actually.
Mm-hmm. And they may have already taken it off the web because it was bad. It looked like a travel poster that somebody came in and posted the background in it. Let me look here, see if I can pull it up.
So, yeah, you looked at that, and Sharon's asking, is it true that the UN appointed someone to talk with aliens when they show up?
Yeah, there is. That was what we were just talking about, that incident response team.
Well, isn't that different, though? Isn't the incident – actually, I think that's different. The incident response team is a United States government incident response team for an alien encounter. And I think the UN has got some other, you know, other thing going on here. So
I'm still looking. Keep talking.
You know, I think if the UN wants an ambassador, I think we ought to, like, put forth Doug's name.
I think he'd be good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of otherworldly. So, but, you know, it's interesting that, you know, for something that, you know, so many governments are denying the existence of, that there are these, like, contingency plans and, you know, talk at the UN. But, you know, the thing about the UN is the number of governments that make up the UN have essentially admitted that they have evidence of UFOs and stuff. Some of the European countries, I know that I believe Mexico, a couple other South American countries. I don't know.
Well, here, I'm gonna go ahead and post in the chat room. These are three consecutive links and of different photos from seeing the same exact object that has – this is a whole different thing other than a fake one. I'm not sure what to make of these either. But these came out not too long ago.
The only thing I'm concerned about having a response team from our government or the UN is the...
whether or not you hear about it?
Well, no. The alien might then turn around and leave because there'd be no sign of intelligent life.
Right.
You know? So...
I don't know if you can see those photos. What's interesting is these are all from different viewpoints of the same object.
So is this the night?
No, this is
one?
No, I'm still looking for that one. Like I said, I'd be surprised they don't yank it off the just how bad it was.
Yeah, that thing was a mess. So the U.S. government's first contact response team, incident response team.
Here we go. All right, everybody. Here's the lovely Photoshop job link. Because it is what it is. And, you know, when I first looked at it, I was looking up there at the sun, and I was like, oh, that's probably a camera glare. And the more I looked at it, and I looked down, and I go, wait a second, where are all the street lights on for? And then I realized somebody had Photoshopped the background in. And it looks like a travel brochure, a picture that they used.
So, that's, you know, just one report out of China that's obviously false. But what do you make of all these airports closing?
Well, you know, there's a reason they're closing. I mean, there's something evidently in the flight space, so they wouldn't close them down like that. You know, that goes back to the instance we had here in the United States with a UFO that was spotted over a major airport here. I think it wasn't O'Hara. It was it might have been O'Hara. I don't know. It's been a while back. But, you know, they shut it down because there was something in flight space, and we're not letting people come in or take off. And which to me is saying literally, yeah, there's something there. But, you know, what I find ironic is that they – Catherine just sit there and told me that she's not able to close the window after that picture you posted of you being invisible.
So, gee, Mike, that's kind of sad that your photo has the ability to break someone's computer.
Well, okay, it was, Doug said it was O'Hara that had the UFO that had showed up. And there were people outside of the terminal that were actually getting pictures on their cell phone of this thing. But what I find fascinating is it took people from outside the agency to actually report it for anybody to know about it. You know, they wouldn't sit there and openly state that they had something flying around that wasn't ours. You know, it's just they won't do it. And it's just so obvious that, you know, let me put it this way. I work for the aviation industry. There's one thing that's going to happen. If you're in flight, in a flight space or flight zone or whatever you want to call it, and you're not supposed to be there when you land, you lose your license. And those are hard to obtain. And those guys pride themselves in being very professional. So if it was an aircraft of some sort and somebody was flying around, I'm pretty sure they won't be flying anymore. But as much as this has been happening, it evidently something is going on. And of course, you know, you never know, considering China and the United States relations right now, it could be just like Russia. It's like a paranormal Cold War. Who knows? You know, look what we got over here. You know, you can't tell. You know, they may be just literally coming up with this information because they want to look special too. But you never know. I didn't give her ghost cooties, John.
Well, I don't know, dude.
It's just, huh?
I don't know. They're talking about possessed computers and things, so.
Well, you know, that's the way my picture, it's just that way. Anyway, I was going to tell you this, too. I found this article. We've had another Chupacabra attack. There was a reported down in Argentina, and they've actually got a picture of a footprint in here. And it actually looks, have you ever seen an emu or a cassowary bird and how big those are?
Well, I used to raise emus, and basically they have footprints that look something like dinosaurs.
Right. Well, I'm going to post this link for everybody. And this is an article that came out not too long ago.
Catherine's just posted that you gave her an alien virus.
Well, no, they inoculated me. You'll have to talk to them about that. But anyway, what's interesting about this is they have the full report on here on this page. They actually have the veterinarian report, but they have a photo here of this footprint that was found next to these carcasses. And it looks like an emu footprint or a dinosaur footprint. And even you can actually see the claw mark in the top toe imprint.
And where was the source from this?
This is Argentina. This is from the website Inspicada, which is Hispanic ufology website. And, of course, they get all kinds of stories from around the world. But they mainly concentrate on South America and Mexico. So, but, wait.
Catherine is being way too funny tonight.
It's all right, Catherine. I'm in a whole other state away from you, so you're safe. They had 10 animals totally dead, and they had one actually survive. They were trying to give antibiotics to and evidently died later. And it's pretty interesting, the whole entire article, if anybody wants to read this. But what I was curious about was this footprint. And Argentina, I don't know, maybe they're called Rheas, R-H-E-A. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They're kind of like cassowary birds or emus, but they're a little bit smaller cousin to those.
Yeah, and they're actually a little bit prettier and a little bit less nasty.
Yeah. But, you know, they're finding these footprints near these carcasses, and they're trying to attribute that to being a chupacabra. And I'm like going, well, maybe, you know. But it doesn't look like a vulture's footprint or anything like that either.
Oh, no. I mean, the footprints are like, they don't look like anything else. You know what I'm saying? They're huge.
It's a ground bird.
And they have a huge claw, you know, that shows. Now, like, an emu, you have to be careful when you're working with them because they could gut you. Absolutely, no problem. Rip right through your clothes and open you up and make your insides go to the outside.
Oh, yeah.
They have that kind of power, and those claws of theirs are that sharp. So I'm not sure in the article, were they talking about what specifically had been killed?
Yeah, there were 10 sheep total that literally had been, I think it's called sanguination, where the blood had been drained out of them. There was a little bit of blood around the carcasses, but the carcasses themselves were dry and no blood, and all the carcasses actually were pregnant sheep.
Hmm.
Which is kind of interesting. Also, let me see here. You know, like I said, they have a veterinarian report on some of this, too. They said there was 3 sheep surviving the attack, evidently, also. So there's 13 sheep total. The interesting thing that they're making comments about, though, is, you know, other wildlife had been eating on the carcasses, but around the initial wounds that caused the death, that the scavenger animals were not even touching it. And they even made a comment in here about the ants, when they approached where the wounds were dying.
Hmm. And who's reporting this? Is it like an investigative group down there, or is it an individual?
Sylvia Perez. I cannot pronounce the last name, from Vision OVNI is the actual reporter.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, the thing that caught my eye, though, was the actual footprint, and I was trying to think if there's anything in Argentina that fits the bill of that as far as animals, you know. Trying to pull up my cryptozoological hat and to know if there's any large ground birds in Argentina. I know they have these large rats, more or less, capybaras.
Yeah, those are like guinea pigs on steroids.
Yeah, well, they're rodents. But, yeah, and that's what I'm saying is I'm wondering if they have any large birds there, because that footprint is definitely either a bird or a reptile, and evidently is pretty good size. Let's see. I think it says something like 22 centimeters. Yep. So, yeah, that was kind of an interesting article I came across.
So this week I was reading an article that was in the news. I mean, this week had some actually great, great news articles, just, you know, rather intriguing stuff. And this one was about essentially psychic spy intelligence.
Mm.
And essentially there's a number of, like, psychics that are, like, all, like, focusing in on certain cities in Europe, and that's part of the basis for issuing the warning, that there's like a traveler's advisory that the State Department puts out for a potential terrorist attack.
Hmm.
And
were you not – you were reading something to me earlier. Did you not say something about the actual 911 attack, and this person actually or this group actually had pretty much named the pilot of the terrorist that was the pilot that was trying to go to Washington with one of the jets?
Well, actually, under one of the I don't remember which group did it, but there's a Freedom of Information request, and there was information, or there was a report that was done in 1983, I think it was. And what it said was that there was a going to be a future attack on Washington, D.C. involving something crashing through the Capitol building. And let me see if I can find exactly the quote. In 1983 provided identified a plot to crash an airplane into the U.S. Capitol building by a Middle Eastern man with a name that sounded like Jerry, Gerard, or Geraldo. And then, of course, on September 11th, Flight 93 failed to reach the U.S. Capitol, but the pilot of the hijacked aircraft was an Al-Qaeda terrorist named Ziad Jarrah. So, And that was actually predicted in 83.
Wow.
And it turns out that declassified files released by the CIA under the Freedom of Information Act revealed the existence of a 1980s psychic prediction program run by the Defense Intelligence Agency called Project P, which I guess is the basis for that whole movie, Men Who Stare at Goats. Or
right.
So much for the CIA, you know. What was it, last year, denying that they were doing or had done psychic research?
Yeah, I remember when that came out. That was kind of hilarious. I'm like going, really? And you need to talk to Joseph McMonagle and a few other guys. Because they're telling everybody else that you did. But I'll tell you something that's for all you guys that are UFO buffs and everything and are following the Disclosure Conference. If you didn't know, they had a National Press Club Disclosure Conference on the 27th of September 2010. I'm going to post the YouTube link. They actually have it on YouTube now. It was pretty interesting. You know, they've got pretty much the same lineup and these people coming up and testifying, you know, the things they've seen all the way from UFOs, shutting down nuclear facilities, and these guys having to go out and restart the missiles, and talking about actual landings and all kinds of other interesting topics. But, you know, I don't know how blatant this has to get until they just say, yeah, they're here, or yes, they're real. I mean, it's just, you know, it's all over the place. And part of me, I'd like to believe they're trying to give time to the public to make it commonplace so it's not a big deal before they really start talking about it. But the other part of me thinks, you know, maybe they're just paranoid and they don't think we need to know.
Well, Mike, knowledge is power. And, you know, by controlling that, you can control people. You know, and the other thing is, if you think about this, you know, maybe a lot of the world governments don't want to admit to these things because they don't want to be put in a position where they have to share information that they don't wish to share. For instance, if you had access to a alien spacecraft, let's just say hypothetically, you have access to an alien spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably don't want to disclose that to the world because, you know, there would be this, like, demand for access. You know, in the name of humanity, in the name of the world, we should all be able to see this. This has implications for not just one country, but the entire world. But, of course, you know, it's like the last thing, if you were a government, that you'd necessarily want to do is, like, give away, you know, technology of that level if you could keep it for yourself.
Right.
You know, I know that sounds all paranoid, but, you know, when you think it through, it also kind of makes sense why a government may not want to disclose that they have a spacecraft. Because, you know, if they're reverse engineering it and they want to put it into their military or whatever, there you go.
That's true. And, you know, that's I've got friends that are ex-Air Force people that actually tell me about stuff that happened to them on the base where they've gone out and odd things that didn't make any sense happened. You know, like they were actually getting missiles were just shutting themselves down for, you know, no known reason. Technicians would go out and check it, and there was no reason for it to shut down, and they had to do a restart. So, you know, you never know. You never know what's up with that. But these people are actually saying they were seeing craft over the missile silos when this stuff was happening, which is, I find that really fascinating. And there's no telling what that is. You know, that could even be geomagnetic disturbances. You know, all that metal and all that electronics in that area, you know, who's to say? But, I don't know. That's one of those things until, you know, I'm kind of a person, if I'm there seeing it, that's one thing. But, you know, all these guys have a reputation online, too. Why in the world would somebody chance, let's say I'm a, you know, ex-military person, and I'm going to go out there and start spouting stuff that the government don't want anybody to know about, you're taking a chance on your retirement being taken away and having no other money. You know, that's something that a lot of people aren't taking into consideration here, is that they got a chance of losing a lot of things, benefits that the government gives them by coming forward and saying this stuff. They really have all to lose, not all to gain. And, you know, a lot of people think these people make money doing this, and in actuality, they don't really make all that much money at all. You can talk to people that run conferences, and you'll find out real quick that they break even or make a little bit more, but not a whole lot more, just enough to cover expenses, you know. So, these, you know, it really makes no sense why these guys would come forward if they're lying.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd agree with that, because there's all kinds of reasons why people lie that make absolutely no sense at all. And when they lie, they end up engaging in activity that ends up being ultimately destructive to them. So, you know, it's kind of like, I understand what you're saying, but people do lie for no reason and you know, reasons that we just can't make sense of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
let's see, let me post. I'm gonna go ahead and post this in the chat room. There's the call-in number. Anybody wants to call in? I think we have somebody. There we go. Just a second. Hello, you're on the air with John and Mike. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is John and Mike. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Thomas.
Hey, Thomas. You say you're ex-Air Force.
Hey,
I call
you
that in the chat room, man. What's going on?
Not much. Yeah. I don't know. I've been in the military for about 5 years now. And honestly, the people I've met, I've never seen anything like UFO-wise. I've been all over the planet.
Right.
I think a lot of these people are saying this to get attention.
Well, you know, that's very possible. You know, I'm not going to – like I said, we're just – you know, we're reporting what's being put out on the Internet, more or less. You know, you can't ever tell. But there are people out there that do have some compelling stuff going on. So,
true.
You know.
Yeah, I saw some of it on CNN.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw some of it on CNN, but I don't buy any of the – I've been in for too long. I've been, like, all over these different bases. I've never seen any of this stuff.
Well, all right, and I'm ex-Navy. I never saw anything either. But like I said, you know, I've got friends, you know, I'm still in the aviation industry, and I've got friends that are ex-Air Force, and they've actually seen stuff. But, you know, you have to go off a person's testimony. You know, it's like anything else. Everybody sees different stuff. You can't ever tell, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I had a supervisor that was stationed over in Nellis, and I guess that's over by Area 51. He said that, like, he used to drive out in the desert and he used to see, like, stuff up in the sky occasionally.
Huh. Well, yeah, but you can never tell. You know, that's like a test bed out there, is it not? You know?
That's all Area 51 is.
Right. You can't ever tell what they're testing. You know, that could be just a... some new platform, like the group I'm with, they're actually coming out with a new drone aircraft for European defense and everything, and it looks like, for all better word, a flying triangle. And it's that's about 30-foot wingspan on it, you know? So I'm, like, kind of just waiting on that one, you know? And, you know, we've been getting reports of UFOs. I've been looking in the news. We've been getting UFO reports, and it turns out these Raptor drones now are being used to watch our border, Mexican border, for the drug runners. And people are reporting them as UFOs because all they see is the fuselage, you know. So, Well, man, I appreciate you calling in. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good for now.
All right, man. Good to hear from
you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Take it easy.
Bye. All right. Well, yeah, it's, you know, what's the sad part of this is all these people they've witnessed something. And they say they've witnessed something, but they really don't have any more than their testimony that they're bringing to the front, and you can't ever tell.
Hey, Mike, Sharon asked a question, and I have no idea. Does drones make noise when they fly?
The ones I've seen do. Like the one that Dassault Falcon is coming out with is jet-powered. It has a low-profile exhaust port on the back to cut down on the sound signature, but the moment it passes you, you can hear it. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know if anybody knows about the old Huey helicopters in Vietnam, but you couldn't hear them until they got on top of you when they flew low.
Because the sound was going behind them, right?
Sound's going behind them, correct. Yeah. Yeah, it is unmanned spy plane, more or less. But this is also, this platform supposedly a bomber fighter platform that Dassault Falcon's working on. It's going to be the new Eurojet combat platform. So.
All right, so, you know, a lot of this could be also just a matter of people are actually seeing something, but it's misidentification, right?
Well, misidentification, but Sharon makes another point. You know, these triangles that pass over, people aren't hearing anything. Also realize that there's other, I can't remember the actual program for the life of me. I wish Grant was here. He could spout it out right off the top of his head. But it was a hydrogen balloon platform of some sort, I think, that could maneuver, and it was more like an observation platform that was in the shape of a triangle. And now it does not, I don't think it can move as quick as the stuff I've seen of the video footage out of Brazil and a couple other places. But, you know, you can't ever, like I said, you can't ever tell unless, you know, it literally lands or it's a full daylight sighting by a bunch of people from different perspectives with cameras. You know, you can't tell what you're looking at. All you're seeing is lights in the night sky. So, you know, it goes back to, you know, you have the testimony of a person, you have to go off of whether or not they're trustworthy or not, you know, the whole witness thing, and just go off of that. You know, I think that's where MUFON's really having heck bringing proof to the forefront and getting people to pay attention, is that all they've got is a bunch of witness testimony and a bunch of cool pictures of lights. And it's the same thing with the ghost stuff. You know, you got a bunch of cool pictures of ghosts, but that, you know, it's pictures again. It's not direct contact where you can call it up on command. So it makes it hard to prove.
So do you think it's going to take parking a some kind of spacecraft on the White House lawn to get people, you know, to that place where they're accepting this as, you know, a possibility or reality?
Well, I'll put it this way to you. I don't think the government's going to say it. I don't think the government's going to say it until that happens. You know, our government's bad about that. And what I find ironic about that is the French government, German government, all these different governments have come out and said, yes, they've got all these files. Yes, this stuff's been happening. They don't have issues with talking to their people about it. Yet over here, it seems like, you know what? We say it doesn't exist, so it doesn't exist. Which is, to me, is the same thing about the remote viewing program that they say they don't do. It means they're involved somehow, whether they're the ones creating these aircraft and we think they're aliens, but they're not, you know.
You know, all these disclosures by these other countries, though, you know, they're not necessarily saying that they've had alien contact. They're saying that they have evidence
UFOs.
Of UFOs.
That's right.
Because, you know, I remember when I was living in New Hampshire and attending school in upstate Vermont. There was all these reports of UFOs all the time. And, you know, by people that were, like, absolutely credible, non-crazy, you know, you would just absolutely believe what they had to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then years later we found out that the Air Force base that's – and it escapes me at the moment – that's in upstate New York, which was basically – was testing – cruise missiles in upstate Vermont because it was similar to, like, the Bavarian forests of Germany.
Oh, okay.
But people were seeing that and saying, oh, there's no way that could be a plane, you know, because, you know, cruise missiles are incredibly acrobatic, you know, in terms of their ability in the air. And,
right.
And people were identifying them as, this can't be an airplane. And they were absolutely right. But it also wasn't an alien spaceship.
Right. And I don't know if you've ever seen...
Hey, we got to wrap it up. We ran out of time, Mike.
Oh, we sure have. Well, I'll tell you what. Everybody needs to tune in Thursday night. We're going to have J.C. Johnson on Paranexus Universe discussing skinwalkers. That looks like a great show. I'm really interested in it. I know Sharon's got to be interested in it. You know, that was her big thing she wants to know about, skinwalkers. But... yeah, is there anything else going on this week? Oh, you got an investigation coming up, don't you?
Yeah, and maybe we'll talk about that next Sunday night. I've got an all-night investigation at Jordan Springs on the Saturday night. So,
Great, man. All right, everybody. Everybody have a good work week, and we will see you Sunday night. And join Doug and Grant for Paranexus Universe Thursday night, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Good night, everyone.